Hey, how's it going, everybody? Coastal Noise Podcast. A few announcements before we begin. If you want to hear more episodes, go to coastalnoise.com, go to the podcast page. You can download the audio file to your laptop, your MP3, your cell phone, anything like that. Or you can listen to it streaming from the audio player right there. We have a couple other guests in the near future that we're excited to have in the works with Lazy Magnolia, Mississippi Shakedown, maybe Roscoe. And some a musician from the upcoming D'Iberville Crawfish Festival. I'll be playing at the D'Iberville Crawfish Festival on May 3rd. Go to the music page, and I've got the dates up there. More on that will come later. The last two shows... Did we cancel the previous Mizos open mic? Both weeks? Okay. The last two open mic nights at Mizos, we had to cancel on, and I think we're going to cancel on next week if they do construction. I think that's what Nick was saying. So just keep up with us. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Stefan Lawson, Daniel Cavanaugh, and we'll be posting more on that if we can do it or if we can't do it. So today we're going to talk to the guys from responsible for the Crest Live development that's going to be going on in downtown Biloxi and what that will mean for the coast and how it incorporates music and art. So we'll get right into that. Coastal Noise Podcast, episode 28. Enjoy. So we're here with Nick Quave and Chase Taylor, and you guys are responsible for the up-and-coming Crest Live building that's being put together in downtown Biloxi, correct?
Yeah.
So let's just start with the most basic. For people who haven't heard about the Crest Live, who don't know anything about it, what is Crest Live, and what does it mean for the Southern Coast? What's it going to mean for our area?
Well, Crest Live is... it's a multitude of things, but for us, it's a building that's been brought back to life. That's being brought back to life. That's going to house live music, concerts. We're going to have a ton of live entertainment. We'll have art, and it'll be really a hub for those type things. And so our bread and butter will focus on music, and we're going to do 120 to 150 shows starting July until next July. And so 365 days, we're going to be doing shows. Could be any day of the week. And so from just a general standpoint, we're going to take over downtown Biloxi in terms of what we're going to bring to the area. And so what we want to do is just, you know, bring as many different acts from across the country. We're going to do A, B, C list musicians, every genre that you can think of. We're going to start July 1st.
So when did y'all start originally? When did y'all decide that y'all wanted to bring this to the coast? Because this isn't the only venture that y'all have had, that y'all have done art and music-related things in this area, correct?
Correct. We've been working on this project for probably about 3 years now, on getting all the details and the business model completed, the construction. The design aspect of it took a while to get exactly how we wanted to get the occupancy that we need for our venue for the type of shows that we're going to be doing. We also did a lot of research and just going out to different venues in Florida, New Orleans, I mean, really all over the country, just to kind of get an overview of how we should operate our venue to be the most successful about it. So,
for us, we started the concept and we said, what needs to happen downtown Biloxi? What needs to happen in the community? And with Katrina and BP oil spill and, you know, the economic downturn, we said, you know, it's obvious we need to inject some culture back into this area. And so from starting conceptually 3 years ago, we said, this is the concept that needs to happen. Well, good, that's great. It's a concept, but now how do we turn it into something that's a business that could be effective and produce revenue and things of that nature. And so we started really putting the logistics together. And once we understood, yeah, this is not just a concept, this could really work, make money, be successful, and do some really great things for the community. And we had to take that concept and then, you know, flush through it and do our research. And so it's been a long time coming. I mean, there's a ton of moving variables associated with it. And so, just getting comfortable with all those variables, it takes time. So we got a good team that we put together, and we're comfortable with the guys around us. And, you know, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about.
Yeah. How has art and music in your personal lives influenced what you wanted to bring to the table?
The Gulf Coast culture, I mean, that's what it's all about, is arts and music. And, you know, without that, the culture dies. So we want to bring that back to the coast. You know, it's a shame that nobody's kind of done this concept before, seeing where we're located from, and, you know, all the entertainers and art and everything that's came out of the state of Mississippi. You know, that's what we're trying to do, is put it back on the map and let people be aware of what came from here and what's, you know, the future to come. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
it's a really weird idea that this, like, really is the birthplace mm-hmm. of so much art and music and so much soul. You know, a lot of places throw around, oh, we're the best at this, we're the best at that, you know, and probably people don't really understand that Mississippi really is, how much it truly holds, how much it, just from its, from, I mean, slavery, from, mm-hmm. from people, I mean, as being a place where American settlers, you know, originally came down to. I mean, there's so much here, and so many great voices and artists have come from here. But yet there's this mentality that any artist that you see nowadays around here, they're always like trying to go elsewhere. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get out. And, you know, it's a combination of not having an outlet for here and also not having like the same level of appreciation for that art.
So, I mean, most of everything, Robert Johnson sold to the devil and created blues and rock and roll, you know? So, mm-hmm. I mean, that happened in Clarksdale, Mississippi, and that's kind of where everything kind of generated from, so. Mm-hmm.
It really is the beginning of a lot of American heritage, even further than music and art. And so, I mean, everything that happened on the Eastern Seaboard had a lot of European influence, and there was a lot of French influence down here as well, but this is one of the first places in the South, for that matter, not just Mississippi, but this is one of the first places that you see original American heritage. Mm-hmm. And that all starts with, you know, culture of some sort, and for us, culture is derived from emotional ties, and it's art and music, and those are both kind of intertwined. Mm-hmm. In our opinion. And so, you know, to be able to display and exhibit some of those things that are so long-standing, and to preserve some of that history, was really important for us, and doing it in a very world-class way. And so we had the opportunity to do, you know, this concept in Clarksdale, and there just wasn't enough infrastructure for us there. And so it just made much more sense to do it on the coast. You've got a little different mentality down here, and it's a pretty clean thoroughfare in terms of being in the middle of Mobile and New Orleans. And you have a ton of those influences. We feel like this is kind of the Gothic coast, if you will, and just kind of an extension of New Orleans on down to the Panhandle. And so it really was just, you know, kind of a natural fit to be able to bring this back to life in an area that's so desperately needed. I mean, you know, the oil spill in Katrina, we mentioned it, but that really felt like there was a shop vac that just sucked a lot of the culture out of this area. And it was unfortunate, but really is what happened. It wasn't that there was a lack of demand. There was just no demand. And then, you know, for new projects and things of that nature. And then I think a lot of people that wanted to do stuff down here, just they had to kind of dig deep in terms of understanding what an identity was for this area. And that really starts with, you know, with your emotion and your heritage and your culture. And so at the end of the day, I think it's just a natural fit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you talked about preserving history and all and art and all this kind of stuff, but we should really be focusing on creating new forms mm-hmm. of art, you know, because for all the talent that we do have here, we don't necessarily want people going to other places. I mean, it's great for people to expand their horizons, go in other places, but I mean, a lot of there's been a lot of greats that who come down, like the Black Keys. You and I talked about the Black Keys, yeah. who, you know, went to you know, Fat Possum Records, and we had R.L. Burnside, and you have Sun House, and Mississippi Fred McDowell, and all these people that come from the Delta. I mean, slide guitar, you know, came straight out of northern Mississippi, and all these kinds of things. So to foster those people and let them know that it's still happening here, and that way we can encourage more people to come down here. I mean, I think it's the perfect mix. And I mean, we have all the casinos and stuff that bring in tons of entertainment, but it's sometimes it can be a little bit catered, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You get more of those acts that are more just of a rehearsed line of showbiz, I guess you could say, like those Vegas kind of acts that are just for they get a little touristy, you know, and I think that cuts out some of the soul that you get from artists that are really in tune with it. I mean, who's the guy who used to live on Ship Island or Deer Island for months at a time and create his artwork? You know who I'm talking about?
Walter Anderson.
Walter Anderson. All kinds of stuff. Yeah, see if you can find out what's the deal with the music, too. It sounds like it's good stuff. It's just coming in louder than we are.
Sorry about that, guys.
No problem. No,
it's cool.
Real to life.
Yeah, go back into that, because I think you hit on a couple important things. I mean, preservation and building of new stuff, and then what's here now is very desirable, and I think that the reason that people do leave is because there's just no opportunity. So we do still have a ton of talented people down here that for a lot of reasons aren't exposed.
Yeah.
And
I'm going to say it's also a balance of making sure that the area that you put it all in, that you want to foster all the art and the music, doesn't become so commercial that it starts to cater to more of people who just are trying. Like, you take LA, for example. Now, granted, LA is where a ton of good art and music comes out of, but I mean, it's also like the cancer spot of America, you know? Mm-hmm. It's
pretentious. It's done. Everybody out there has their own internal motivation. Every single meeting that's had is to progress a relationship and to progress a position, if you will,
mm-hmm.
in that social, you know, space. And it's not done from a grassroots standpoint. It just mm-hmm. is not. And so I think that having that grassroots mentality down here, having Southern hospitality and all those things that I really feel like the South is about, that's why things have flourished so much down here.
Yeah.
And, you know, like you said before, in casinos, you know, these acts that are brought in, you look at your typical act in a casino, 300 tickets are typically sold on every act. The rest of them are given away. So the guys that really want to be there, the patrons that really want to come to these shows, generally aren't coming. So you got 300 on, you know, in a 2,000 person venue, that's a small percentage of the people that are really there to see the acts, you know? Mm-hmm. And so the atmosphere that takes place in a lot of these casinos, you know, more power to the casinos, because they really are bringing down some great entertainment in some cases. Mm-hmm. But it's just different than the grassroots of what we really want live entertainment and culture to be. How much culture can you get if, you know, 80, 70% of the people that are there just because they got free tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, with the casinos, a lot of times it's just like, how much money can you make us? Yeah. How many people can you bring in? So it's always people who are already, you know, at the top of their game, or who can sell tickets or bring people in to gamble. Yeah. So you don't have the smaller people that are talented and local performing there very much. So
yeah. We've got a lot of like great relationships with the casino guys, so we don't think anything negative about those guys. Mm-hmm. You know, we run our business a little bit differently, in that it is about that atmosphere. It is about the experience you have and how you directly relate to the musicians and the art that's being exposed, because it's all art. It's about the people that come and that experience, because we want to create a destination for these musicians as well as the patrons. And so the patrons that come and see our venue, well, yeah, it's all about that experience, but it's also about the musicians that come to the area and how we have a unique environment and want to continue to be that destination for those guys for years to come.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, the casino shows are great, especially the acts they're bringing in, you know, but if you've ever been to a casino show or a private venue show, you know, the private venue show is just a lot more intimate. It's just, you know, to me personally, it's a better show altogether, you know? So that's what this city's lacking, and that's what we're trying to bring to the coast. You know, there, mm-hmm. outside of the casinos, there's not a whole lot of outdoor entertainment or anything outside of the casinos. So, you know, the more that we can bring and the better things that we can bring to the coast, it works for both parts. So that's what
we're... And the look and feel is going to be indigenous to the area. You're going to walk into this venue, and when you come from D.C. or you come from L.A., you're going to understand just by being in the venue what the coast is all about. You're not going to have different color carpet. You're not going to feel like you're in Atlantic City. You're going to feel like you're on the Gothic Coast, on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. And if you step foot in one building and you can understand that, that building's going to be Crest Live. I mean, we're going to have exposed bricks that tell a story of this historic building. We're going to have local regional art that gives you the story of what's happened over the time, of the history, if you will, of what's shaken out, you know, in this area. And then two, we're going to have one of the first American Heritage Music Museums completely integrated into the venue. So as you walk through, you'll see memorabilia that starts as far back as the Robert Johnson era and comes as era and comes as far forward as say Johnny Cash and Elvis Presley, if you will. Mm-hmm. So having that all tell a story of really what this area has provided over time, I mean, what more can you get without words, you know?
Now, y'all are also incorporating charity-based work into with what Crest Live will be.
Yeah, correct. You know, that's as big a part of the business to us as the Crest entertainment business, you know, because what we want to do is we want to set up foundations and things to where we can give back to schools and music programs, to where, because, you know, the kids are our future as far as music and arts go. And, you know, if anybody knows anything about the schools and budgeting, you know, that's one of the first things that has to get cut out of the budgets for schools. And mm-hmm. without kids having that gateway to express themselves and who they are, you know, that's another reason that there's such a high dropout rate, because it's just play by play on what has to be done in schools, and there's no way for them to express themselves. So, you know, that's huge for us.
It's kind of a weird catch-22, because if you cut on art and music and those kinds of things that deal with creative workings of the mind, I mean, it's those aspects that give us our next geniuses, you know what I mean?
Agreed.
Instead of the continuous repetition of a textbook that kids don't really connect with, and especially when you have the psychology of an entire group of kids together who are all reinforcing each other, saying, this is stupid, this sucks, yeah. I don't want to be here, I don't want to be doing this, I'd rather be out riding my skateboard or mm-hmm. playing my guitar or just painting and all these kinds of things. Well, when you take those things away from the kids, when they crave it so badly, then you're even more so reinforcing the idea that you're public enemy number one. Now they're not even, you know, wanting. And then when it comes down to that, they fail or they don't make it to a certain level, or, you know, they've spent years in these schools because they have to.
Yeah.
And then once they get out, they feel like they've wasted their time. And they're not as productive, you know, because they didn't have that out. I mean, you have to blend the two together. I mean, all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. And that's exactly the case when you go to a facility for 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. of your childhood when, you know, you probably should be running around outside a little bit. And, you know, kids, their minds, the way they work, they're more prone to spontaneity. Mm-hmm. And this idea of sitting, I mean, it's the same with adults working in the workforce. You know, you putting people in cubicles, in chairs, in front of computer screens all day can't be the best idea ever. But yet you do that because for the sake of money and production to move in one direction at the quickest rate. You know, that's the whole, the point of it. And I think that's one of the reasons why we have way more music that's on the radio that's commercial, that isn't up to par. It's overproduced. It can't be replicated live by the bare minimum of people that are supposed to be the ones who created it. You know, so all of this just goes back to the fact that the more grassroots, the more bare it needs to be, and the more that needs to be emphasized for, you know, kids at that, the youngest level. You know, it's just like when you take kids to learn another language when they're young, or that's the best example I can think of, because I'm, you know, thinking of my own family, who, younger kids who, you know, you try to put them in front of Dora the Explorer or something like that, you know, and research has shown you got to start kids at a younger age with those things, because it just makes it better for them to become integrated with it in the future. So yeah, I mean, that's a perfect reason why, you know, organizations and charity work like that should be, in place totally. And when budget cuts happen, you know, and those things get cut out, that is usually the first to go, because it's not associated with, high levels of productivity and money making. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if you kill creativity, then I mean, you've got a rat in a lab experiment in a cage, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, we have our own approach to how we're going to, you know, go forward with the foundations, but just through our resources with guys that are interested in the same end results as we are, you know, we're affiliated with the guys that manage the John Lennon bus. That's huge, you know. I don't know if anybody's heard of that before, but
I have not. Can you? What exactly?
I'm gonna let Chase explain, because he knows a little bit more about it than I do.
So Lennon tour bus is just an incredible philanthropic effort. What they do is we met these guys out in Anaheim, and Yoko Ono owns the bus, and it's $18 million bus, just heavy with every type technology that you can have in terms of recording. And so these guys tour around the country, and they call communities, you know, that they have relationships with, like us, for example, and they say, okay, regardless of income bracket, we want you to give us your best student musicians around the coast, if you will. And then they come, you know, to the area, and you know, we pick out three or four musicians, young student musicians that are still in school, say, you know, from the ages of 8 to 17 or something like that. And they take these kids, they bring them on the tour bus, they write a song, they record the song in a world-class studio, right? It's all integrated into the bus. And then they film an actual video, MTV, you know, worthy, if you will. And then they take these videos that they've recorded all in 24 hours, and they blast them out to their resources across the country. And so these kids that, you know, may be completely poor and never have the opportunity to have this, you know, to have this luxury, they now are potentially in front of thousands of people, agents, and, you know, other people that will be looking at their music from a comprehensive level. And so it's really one of these efforts that, you know, is not going to be completely integrated into our 501c3 nonprofit, but it's part of moving the ball forward and pushing that envelope for this area. And so when you have some kids that, you know, have a priceless type opportunity like this to get in front of millions of people, and then we're going to take as many of those opportunities as we can get. So when the tour bus comes in, which is probably going to be around our grand opening, we're going to be looking for, you know, four or five kids that we can put into the Linen Tour bus, and they write a song, record the song, and record a video.
Very cool.
So that type of stuff is stuff that we're really excited about, and that goes back to culture, because culture is every level of, you know, age bracket that you could think of, and if we're not progressing the young folks as much as we're offering opportunity for, you know, folks our age and beyond that, then I think that we're missing the boat.
Yeah. Well, that's very cool, because, I mean, that is one of the reasons that people go outside the state, is because major labels, record companies are in other parts of the country. So in the case of the Linen Tour bus, that's really cool that they can get that shot out there to that. That's kind of one thing that we could really use as a major label around here. I know there's a lot of little studios and private studios and things like that, but I mean, I think that would be another thing that would be huge, you know, because especially since, I mean, I called Fat Possum Records maybe like a year ago or something, because I wanted to go up there and do a tour of the place and just talk to the guys there, and they told me it had been shut down, which was a total bummer for me, because I had just watched like an R.L. Burnside documentary that was created by the guys of Fat Possum. I think his name's Matt. And just all that they had been a part of, you know, and it's just like another something else gone to the wind, you know. And, you know, how much of that is because they just didn't have the right amount of attention, or like nobody knew, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that would be another huge thing. I think that'd be really cool.
Well, that's something that you hit on a while back, was not just necessarily preserving what happened in the past, but creating new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have the facilities and you don't have the world-class environment, recording studio, if you will, you'll never be able to get to that level that LA and Atlanta and New York are doing. And so if we have the talent down here, it's just unfortunate that we don't have the facilities.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of our efforts are, you know, if you come and you play at Crest Live, we're going to let the musicians leave with a raw data card that has HD video and HD audio based on what they've played, the entire set that they've played. So we give them this raw data card. They do what they want to with it. But that opportunity, a lot of these C-listers, a lot of these regional and local guys don't necessarily have all the time. I mean, recording studio money takes time. That's why it takes money. And so that's why a lot of those facilities aren't here, just because it just doesn't make sense in a lot of cases financially.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to have that as an amenity to attract some of these musicians.
Mm-hmm.
And then too, we will have academies, music academies in the daytime for kids and young adults and adults too, to come in and play in an environment on a world-class sound system that they might, you know, professionally be playing in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So some of those facilities, we're just creating something that just isn't here. I mean, it's not that there's no demand for it. It's just that there's nothing. So we've got to start somewhere, and it's important for us to build it the right way on the front end. So, you know, so we can really, you know, plan for the future and hold on to some of that culture that might be leaving the areas and going, you know, going to Atlanta, going to New Orleans, because it is a little easier to be successful in those places.
Mm-hmm. Have y'all thought any about like comedy and putting Crest in integrating that with Crest? I know y'all have had talks of like dual pianos possibly or something like that.
We plan on reaching out and hitting every aspect of entertainment in general. You know, I mean, certain things don't make sense, but for the majority, there's every genre will be a part of this venue. So country, rock and roll, rap, electronic, you know, folk music, comedy, even things such as burlesque shows, things like that, you know, nothing.
Freak shows.
Hey, you know, as long as if it works, you know, so.
How about film, theater?
Yeah,
you know,
definitely. No,
like we were talking about on the last podcast, was it Starkville that does a film festival every year?
Well, we do the film. We have a film festival down here now since they started doing the movies and everything down here on the Gulf Coast.
Where is it? Gulfport?
Sun and Sand Biloxi Film Festival. They had one in Biloxi, and then I believe they did something in Gulfport as well. So every year the Sun and Sand Film Festival does a show, and we've actually been communicating with them guys and see if there's a way that we can work together on doing a better production deal with that as well. So
We Crest Live will be a sound stage, so recording will be available there. I mean, we've built the infrastructure on the front end to film. We could film anything we want to in there. So, we've thought about doing. I mean, there's a lot of tax incentive programs out there now to help expand the film industry in Mississippi, and I think that Louisiana is a great testament for what can happen over the course of about 5 years. I mean, they're, I think, third or fourth in line, in the country in terms of actual video production. So with the right tax incentives, and I think our state has a ton of good ones, again, you got to have facilities to be able to house some of that stuff. So I think we're heading in that right direction, and we will be available to come in and do some recording stuff if it makes sense for the parties that are involved.
Yeah, our venue is a little unique outside of other venues around, because with Crest Live, we're going to be doing our in-house productions, like he said, it's 120, 250 shows a year. But outside of that, when we're not having shows booked, our venue is available to the public. So we're going to be, housing weddings, political meetings, political functions.
Art shows, fashion shows.
The tattoo wanted to do a convention down there where we'd be posted that, where we're also going to be doing co-op things with other production companies and, guys from New Orleans. We're going to be bringing a lot of jazz and brass bands and things like that. This coast really doesn't have a whole lot of entertainment down here. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be spreading everything out. So
yeah. So if there's an opportunity that you or some of your listeners might have, we're open to being creative. We've been told no for so long that we found a way to say yes to some things that make sense. We can't say yes to everything, but we want to be a hub for some of these guys that, have great ideas and just don't have the facilities to do them or necessarily, or the resources. We've got some great resources that we've built over the years, and we've got the real opportunity to do some wonderful things, and we feel like Crest is a tool to accomplish a lot. It's going to be a very versatile space, and so we don't want to limit ourselves to anything, and we're open-minded, and we feel like we're pretty creative in terms of thinking outside the box. And so we've got our bread and butter with live shows and entertainment, and we're going to be doing everything that you could possibly think of, and if there are some other potential opportunities out there, we'd love to hear them.
When are y'all expecting that Crest Live will be up and running, fully operational?
Construction should be done mid-June. The fine touches on everything. We're looking at opening up the venue the 1st of July. So we're locking in some shows right now. We're just looking at exactly what days those will be on, mm-hmm. but we're looking around the 4th of July.
July 4th weekend will be nuts.
Right on.
So
yeah.
There'll be a lot of people on the coast. There's a lot of things going on. We'll have fireworks shows, and there's just so much opportunity down here on the coast of what already happens, but it's regulated to casinos and then bars and restaurants, and then you have your one time a year events like cruising the coast, the boat races, CPR Fest, Gulfport, things like that, the Sun and Film Festival. So, our goal is to be a monthly and weekly type thing that's always got something going on. So, that's our goal.
Very cool. Well, guys, I appreciate y'all coming down and having a chat with us. We're real excited and looking forward to what Crest Live is going to be in the future. So, really appreciate it. I mean, this all came about. I read the y'all Sun Herald article that recently came about. Mm-hmm. I looked you up, Chase, and actually through your Facebook, and I found one of your pictures was of the King Crimson, the 21st. I wanted to talk to you before then. I saw that picture. I was like, all right, I got to talk to him now.
Yeah, man.
I knew it was right up the alley. So if more people want to find out about Crest Live and the developments that's going on, where can they find y'all at?
www.crestlive.com. We're posting updates on construction starting next week, so you'll be able to kind of watch how things are developing. And then social media, www.facebook.com/crestlive. So it's K-R-E-S-S. And we're going to be doing some hiring too. So if some of your listeners out there, you know, want to be integrated into Crest Live and work in a challenging environment that you might not have the opportunity to, outside of this in particular, style, we'd love to, you know, love to entertain that. We've got PR positions, marketing positions, security, bartenders, bar backs, things of that nature. And then we're going to also do, event services. So, you know, banquet style, experience. If you have anything in that nature, we'd, you know, send us your resume.
Right on.
And that's, you can do that at chase@crestlive.com.
All right. Well, guys, we wish you both the best of luck. We hope everything goes smoothly for you. We'd love to talk with you later on down the road to see how things are going. And thanks again for doing this. We appreciate it a lot.
I appreciate it.
Thanks for your time, man. Appreciate you inviting us.
All right, everyone. That's it for the show. Go to coastalnoise.com if you want to hear the other podcasts that we have. Again, you can go to the music page. I have the date up for the Crawfish Festival. I'll be playing there May 3rd with Danielle Lynn. You can hear some other tracks and all that good stuff. That's all. Good night.